where you would look.
Yes, next we have issues today. All commissioners are present. We'll start with Chair Bernard. There's a regional disaster preparedness organization comment letter that you would sign as the chair of the regional disaster preparedness organization, mm-hmm. but you also sign as a representative of Clackamas County. So just wanted to make sure, commissioners, if you're okay with the letter that was drafted in your packet.
Have you guys had an opportunity to read the letter?
I have not.
We got that last week, right?
Yeah. We surveyed the group about this letter, and we had a discussion about sending this letter in and addressing our concerns, and so basically it's presented to you here now. Anybody have a problem with it?
Nope. Appreciate you taking the lead on it.
Thanks.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, great. Next, short-term rentals. Ugh. Next steps, if staff would like to come forward. Oh, they're ready. Look at that. They're excited.
Oh, man.
I want to clarify what we're doing next.
Discussion 27.
Yeah.
1,000
cuts. Dan and Jennifer from DT Transportation and Development. Go ahead.
I am so excited to be in front of you again today talking about short-term rentals in preparation for our 8th policy session. And
Do we have another policy session?
Yes, we are. You want one next Wednesday. So we are not going to have one next Wednesday. It's probably going to be the Wednesday after, just due to timing. But there's some things that I want to share with you and get some clarity on to make sure we're all on the same page. And this is mostly about issues that were revisited last Thursday and new issues that came forward. And then have a talk about cost, because we're going to have a discussion around cost on this particular topic real quick. So first, some topics that have been revisited last week. We revisited cap. Our assumption was the fact that we weren't doing a cap. So we have it written that way, okay? And we see head shaking, but the discussion is around the policy direction you're giving us at these policy session meetings. So if we're not hearing you correctly, we'd ask you to politely to correct us so we know we're heading the right direction. We heard a discussion around in the UGB. In the UGB, current policy direction we have heard is the fact that they allow for primary residence for the use for a short-term rental. If that is incorrect, you need to let us know.
Can I just stop? So they're tied together, because in the urban area, the cap would be, in lieu of the cap, is this owner occupancy thing, right?
We can tie them together however you guys like to tie them.
As long as my colleagues are aware that by removing that, what do you call it, owner occupancy or?
Yeah.
The primary residence.
Primary residence, yeah. Mm-hmm. And we heard pushback from that. So if you take that out, then the argument that was in lieu of a cap, then the cap discussion becomes right at the top. And by the way, the cap did cover outside the UGB issues as well. So I just want to put that out there.
Total, again, I'm going to go back to the fact that the numbers we've shared with you, the total percentage of our housing stock that is currently estimated to be in short-term rentals is 1.4%.
Which is how many?
1,400 approximately, give or take. I believe that's the number.
Pretty small.
Okay, we're just sharing this information, okay? So then we got fees.
Today?
I got two things on fees.
No, okay.
Okay?
Okay.
First thing on fee. You guys are pretty clear to us around full cost recovery. Crystal clear to us around full cost recovery. We do not make the costs. I'm going to make sure there were comments that were made about what the cost is. We are sharing with you what the loaded cost is for those FTE. If we could change it, we would change it. But it is the loaded cost for those two individuals we will need to hire to operate this, one in finance and one in code enforcement. We can have a talk about phasing that more. We're trying to be strategic about that money. We've had a great partnership with tourism to get some upfront startup cash this fiscal year to prep for the July 1 implementation. But I just want to make sure we're clear to everybody, that's just the loaded cost for those two FTE. Okay? Okay, here are new issues. Annual check-in, a check-in in a year. I heard words like terminate the program in a year. I want you to think about that.
No.
We would be hiring two new FTE to operate this program, and if you come back in a year and terminate, there are ramifications for that. Just make people's lives and jobs and things like that. Noise standards, subjective versus objective. That dialogue is occurring, but occurring as a part of the noise ordinance provisions, okay? And so we can honor that through this process, trying to change what that measure is, but that is done through a separate ordinance, okay?
Okay. I just want to make sure that one wasn't lost.
Yeah, no, we've got it. And we probably need to talk more with county council and others because there's a status of that noise update. I'm not sure where that's at, but we can talk more about that. Having tourism help cover the cost. They are already helping us with some startup cost and the long-term operational dialogue around that. Again, if it's full cost recovery through the fee, we shouldn't need any money from tourism to assist in that unless we want to adjust that. If you want to adjust the rate down, the fee down, we can do that. We've got to have something backfill it. Either we cut some elements of the program, we add general fund, we're up for any of that. I mean, we're just kind of steering the ship. You tell us which direction you'd like to go. And then I talked about fee structure again. There's the two things I want you to think about. So we are on our eighth policy session, and I think you said it in regards to the fact that it's not an easy topic, and we knew this when we started. It's very similar. It's passionate. I mean, you have folks that have their livelihood banking on some of this stuff. Yeah. It has a lot of similarity to like the tree ordinance and things we've dealt with in the past. Every time we allow public comment, and I'm not saying to limit public comment, you're going to hear a new set of circumstances. You always heard a lot of one-offs about this set of circumstances or another, and it's hard to not honor that. But there are a million different situations that you could be faced with in regards to these things. So we're just trying to rattle this thing down into some specifics to get this code adopted. Do we think there will be changes to it in a year? Yep. We're pretty confident. I mean, it has a lot of marijuana kind of flavor to it, how we got into that, and then there had to be some changes.
That's a great analogy.
I want to make sure you understand, because I've heard it. I've heard why are we doing this. I've heard discussions around half-baked. I've heard I want to honor that. There is an easier way. If you don't want to get into the registration, and you don't want to get into the code enforcement, and you don't want to get into all those nuances, it's a simple zoning and development ordinance revision to our code to allow them in the ZDO. Okay? There is an easier way. And there is the ability to come back after a year and assess that. Okay? Will that way be easier now that we have had eight policy sessions? How many public meetings? Seven public meetings.
And two hearings.
No, because you have some folks, and you heard them on that side of the ledger, that want these regulated. But I want to let you know there is an easier way, just so if you're thinking about an off ramp here and reassessment in a year. Okay. Last but not least, money is important. I'm going to tell you right now, if you do not incorporate DTD admin time, our planning director's time, county council's time, tourism's time, our great friends at PGA, just staff alone, we're job costing this. We are $57,000 down the path on this topic. If you add all the rest of those folks on this topic, it is quite a bit more.
Our time.
I'm all willing to be here and have this topic and have this discussion as many times as you want to make sure we get it right. I appreciate that. But just, I would ask, this next policy session, we're going to make it long. We're going to make it 2 hours. And if you guys, I ask you, open up with us. Let's beat the topic up one side, up the down the other, to make sure we've got it right for this next one going forward. Okay.
Okay, Martha.
So I just want to ask you a question, Dan. So basically, you're saying the simple solution right now, simple, keep it simple, mm-hmm. is the zoning and development ordinance out now, just allowing the use.
So that would be a simple step that would simply just allow it. We also have been working with our folks and our friends in finance, and have been talking to them about new creative ways, for lack of a better word, to make sure we're collecting the TRT and that dialogue. That is a simple way out. It does not get to the topic that a lot of folks have some concerns about, which are those folks that are somewhat against them and have concerns about them, but it is a possible exit.
Okay, so now I have a question for my colleagues. Okay, what issue are we really trying to solve? Is it essentially we want to collect TRT dollars from people that aren't paying them? Or is it that basically we want to control nuisance activities?
Yes.
And if we want to control nuisance at both, okay, I can get the control nuisance activities because that's why we have code enforcement. Just saying.
And the sheriff.
And the sheriff.
And LP too, as well.
Yep. And what?
And LP.
Okay. And collecting revenue that we have not been able to recover yet, why are we doing this at a local level when it should be a state level conversation? I was just thinking about this the other night. Like, why are we, as a single county, if this is a tourism issue statewide, why isn't it being handled at that level? Why is it devolving? It seems to me, maybe it's a question for our folks here, to the local level. We already are going to be dealing with the nuisance activities no matter what. Why don't we just give more money to code enforcement? I mean, I'm kind of like, I guess maybe, tell me if I'm just being too simple-minded about this, but it just seems
okay.
That it's draconian and Machiavellian and just every other piece of string getting pulled out where it's all going to fall apart, and we're making our staff crazy, just saying.
Can I ditto that?
Yeah.
So I got to say some stuff so that you guys can all think about it. And one thing, I actually have three different reasons for doing it. Mm-hmm. One is code enforcement.
Right.
The other is to allow it. And the other is to preserve the opportunity for homeowners to retain their home when situations change. So the one example is the gentleman whose mother is ill. He's living with her, and he's renting his house. I think that income potential that people have in their cabins and stuff, there's nothing wrong with that. Control, it's not allowed. We need to either do that or not, and I personally think we should allow it. That the other, we can't allow it without code enforcement. I hear that everywhere I go. If you're going to do this, you got to enforce it. Finally, the other thing is I think that the cost of startup in the first year will be high. The second and more will be less because we will have less enforcement because people learn, and that we will have people in the system already. So I think that the cost up front of creating it will be high. But after that code enforcement person could very well be doing other code enforcement. And the cost of collection will be reduced because it's already in the system. So I think the cost is high. And so those are my concerns. And then there's an opportunity to do zonal stuff, you know, up at the mountains, down in within the UGB, and something in between. But I think if there's an opportunity for somebody to save their farm, to save their home, I mean, I can tell you that during the down economy, I had three homes. I lost $100,000 on each home because I had to sell it. And if there were an opportunity to lease this out, wow, that would have been a wonderful opportunity. I mean, I could have leased it out, but I could have short-term rented it too. But there's, you know, it would... I just think that if there's an opportunity for our citizens to make some money off certain situations, why not?
Can I ask you a clarifying question?
Sure.
So you said three reasons, and I heard them.
Yeah, I said.
So the TRT collection is not one of those four, though. So it's
well,
not a factor.
Well, it's four, actually.
Okay,
TRT collection. Absolutely.
Why isn't the state handling TRT collection?
What?
Why aren't they?
Well, because the code does not allow them to enforce that. That's not their job. Their job is to collect and distribute, right? We have TRT people. They don't have any enforcement abilities.
Well, but that's why we need to put money into code enforcement for enforcement. I guess I don't know why. I guess it just seems like we're overcomplicating this. So when you said simple, I was like, please, God, let's just... we could allow them if that would give us an opportunity, and then we can see where it goes from there. And like I said, I don't know. I don't know what I'm not getting, but evidently something.
We've tried to give you a relatively reasonable process.
Right.
that gets to both points, one of which is the desire to have some registration on the nuisance abatement component.
Right.
And something on the fact they have to allow them. Whatever happens, we're going to have to allow them. Or we're going to have to just simply prohibit them all within the county, and then it becomes a code enforcement nightmare. But some step like that has got to be taken. The registration, we felt, was a good middle step to see how we can deal with both those topics. I want to go back to the fee. The assessment of the work that individual will be doing may wane a little bit. There'll be waves to that work in regards to how busy they are or aren't. Okay? And I agree to that. But when you say the cost is going to be cheaper the second year, if the cost for that service is going to be cheaper, that assumes you're billing time on every individual by hour, and that you are assuming a by hour, not an FTE cost for that individual, for the full cost allocation. We are fully cost allocating that position to this fee. If we didn't do that, that means that we would have to pick up the remainder, or he would have to pick up the remainder adjustment of a certain percentage of that time that would go somewhere else. Because we have that loaded FTE cost, and that's what we go through to base our total cost for that permit revenue projection and forecast on.
Yeah, but you can share that position in code enforcement. You can share that in finance should we get to a point where, you know, the collections are moving along well and the enforcement's moving along well. Then you could share that position in enforcement.
I could share it, but I'd have to find a way to augment that other dollars for that FTE if we reduce the fee. Because keep it simple math, an FTE loaded cost is $100,000. So if I don't have that fee generation, and if you're saying that, you know what, the fee should go down because the work goes down, then we've got to figure out a different way.
No. I'm not suggesting the fee reduction. I think the fee, I'm okay with your fee.
Okay.
My issue is up at the mountain when there's 190 units. That's my only issue with the fee. So, Sonia. I know we don't have much.
I know.
Yeah.
I just want to encourage us. I think staff has done a really good job in giving us something that really balances a piece of all the things that we've been asking for. We can't expect this to be perfect. And we really can, and we will need to look at it and make changes. The one piece that I want to just mention that I'm really supportive of, and it'll be hard for me to get past if we decide to remove the owner occupancy requirement for within the UGB, because I really don't want to incentivize
corporate.
The commercialization of our neighborhoods.
Yeah,
and I really think that's a key piece. And as far as creating an arbitrary cap, I think that we should look at that when we review everything in a year. But what I'm seeing also, big picture, is we have an aging population. Older people want to stay in their homes. And one way they can do that effectively is to Airbnb out a bedroom. And I don't want to prohibit those people that can then remain in their homes because they're able to provide that while they live and stay in their homes. So that would be my concern about a cap. But I think we should look at it. And I think it's
in a year.
In a year, we'll have even more information on what's going on in the country.
Yep.
But I want staff to be able to implement whatever we do, and they know their stuff.
We will be back to talk to you on Wednesday, March 4th.
All right, thank you.
No, we're not. When are we not doing it? When would you like us to do it?
The board, three commissioners are at NACO the week of first
Great.
Week of March.
It'll be a robust discussion.
So,
Ken and I.
My suggestion will be March 11th, 9:30 to 11:30.
Perfect.
Okay, great. Thank
and
you.
And we'll be back by then, mm-hmm. Yes.
So you better be.
I know, I was just thinking.
All right, thank you.
Thanks. Next, review of your business meeting agenda for this Thursday, February 20th. You have the Housing Authority consent agenda. You have a public hearing on the second reading of an ordinance amending the county code to remove the personnel policy related to limited term employees. You remember that. That's the only part that's being discussed at that second reading. You have a consent agenda. I actually do want to draw your attention to, if you have your agenda, it's C1 under the Finance Department. It's acknowledging a financial statement findings for fiscal year 2019 and describing corrective action. So this was the development agency. had a misspending, or not misspending, there was a budget that was overspending because the wrong amount was put in the wrong line. It was a miss. If you want to come to the table, Dan, it was, I don't have the report in front of me, but this is, the audit committee was notified of this in January. So Chair Bernard and Commissioner Savas, you were there, I assume. Mm-hmm. I saw an email to that effect. This is law. We have to notify you because the development agency audit is separate from the county audit. The county audit's not done yet, but the development agency audit was done. So this is on your consent agenda, just you acknowledging that it happened and that there was no fraud or waste or abuse, which we confirm was the case. But anything you want to add, Dan?
Just want to make sure you understand the fact that it was using the public's money wisely. It was a right-of-way purchase, which we chose to not go forward with. It dealt with the Sunnyside Road project and some bidding that happened at the end of the year. Essentially, it became a discussion around the assets list and essentially the way that finance controls and monitors that list of assets. Historically, they've given us the old asset list and then simply added what they perceived as new assets. We've talked with them since this happened to identify where the problem arose and how it arose. They've acknowledged the fact that it's an inaccuracy, and from that, this point forward, they're going to give us a collective asset list that we can look at. So I want to make sure we are very clear. There's no fraud. There's no ill intent. There was no action on behalf of agency staff. It was a dialogue with finance about what they need from us to make sure the end of year calculations are correct.
Okay. Is there any financial consequence to it?
Savings of $500,000.
Saved $500,000?
Well, we didn't buy the property because essentially the bidding market was so high we had to make that decision on the fly. We got bids in for that project. The project came in, I want to say it like $26 million the first time we bid it. We said, you know what, we can't afford that. We're going to whittle this thing down, make sure we use the dollars more efficiently and effectively, and then we have enough money to finish it. And so we made that decision, and that required us to cancel that check.
All right.
So that'll be on a consent agenda. If you, thank you, Dan, for being here and explaining it. I appreciate that. So just wanted to keep you aware in case you had any questions about that. But any other questions you may have, please let me know prior to Thursday.
Okay.
All right. Next, advisory board and commission appointment. Kevin.
Thank you, Minister Schmidt. We have the compensation board for elected officials. Staff is recommending reappointment of Gary Martin.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and second that we reappoint Gary Martin to the Compensation Board of Elected Officials. Any further discussion? All those in favor say oop.
Commissioner Fisher?
Aye.
Commissioner Schrader?
Aye.
Commissioner Savas?
Oop. Why not?
Commissioner Humbertson?
Aye.
Chair Bernard?
See. All right, next item.
All right, finally is Commissioner Communications.
Okay, who would like to start?
So, I'll start. So, Mary Jo did this awesome little packet because as this information on Here Together moves down the pack, there'll be probably more information. We thought we could all keep it in one little place. So, I'm going to hand it out.
So, Commissioner Fisher, earlier you mentioned that you're not in the driver's seat on this. And my question is, who is, on behalf of Clackamas County, actually in the driver's seat, in the details, protecting the best interests of Clackamas County?
Jill.
I'd love to get an update from her on this topic, if she's the person.
So I would say that she's the technical expert that participated in the very much participated in the governance section. And Jim Bernard was there and I was there. But we really do listen to Jill when it comes to how this will roll out and how it would be implemented, because she is the technical expert. So this is, as of now, the information we have. There's, I'm sure, more information because Metro is in right now having their policy session. And I think that within the packet, or people heard that there was just an article that was just put in the paper that they are going to be asking for a lesser amount than the community wants for an income tax. That was just out. I don't know what's going to happen today. But within this packet is the latest developments. So Portland Business Alliance, while very supportive of this effort, really wants employers to be taxed with a payroll tax. They don't want an income tax because of quite a few reasons, which they outline in their letter, which is in your packet. And a lot of that has to do with just the volatility of an income tax, given the ups and downs in the economy and just all of the things that we've all heard about income taxes. But that's there for your review. There's the recent press in your packet. There's the ballot bet measure in your packet, the most recent one prepared by Steve Berman, not the one that is necessarily going to be referred by Metro, but the governance framework, which is all of the meat and the details of what the community is recommending to Metro about how this will roll out, who will be served, how the governance structure will work, how's oversight, accountability, and who's the focus of the measure. And at this point, the community is recommending that 75% of the resources go to those that are the highest need and that another 25% of the resources go for prevention. There's another thing in your packet, the most recent report from Eco Northwest regarding the gaps analysis, which the three counties ask Eco Northwest to do so that we could have a good sense of what the issue is. And then Mary Jo took the latest numbers and used her Master of Public Administration expertise to create for us some pretty nice graphs, which I really appreciated seeing what the different revenue options would be and what that means for the three county areas. And always what I look at is population and how does that proportional to revenue. So I know we're just at issues, but this is for you guys to have and to look at, and just want to make sure you have everything that I have. And Mary Jo, did I miss anything?
I don't think so. I was just calculating the new rates with the new development with Metro. So Jim might want to talk about, you all might want to talk about that press release.
Okay. We might want to just wait before we do too much work on that to see what actually happens today, because I don't know where Metro is on this.
I just want to add one thing to her comments, and that is that when I sat the other day, Friday or Saturday or Sunday, whatever day that was, I had Jill right next to me, and any proposal that was made that how her group could respond to, she told me how I should vote. And I think we've been really watching to make sure that Clackamas County's voice is loud and her, and they listen to us. And then shortly after that, we were both on a phone call with the Portland Business Alliance talking about where they were. And then this article came out, and I also went to Salem to testify in support of raising the cap. But I'd say one of the key things is the administration fee for me. I appreciated that the legislature left the cap in there, while other folks may not have wanted to. So, Paul, you want to be next?
Well, no, I have a question.
Yeah, sure.
And that is, this came up in a transportation setting with the STIF monies. So here's my question. If my son, who lives in Clackamas County, works in Portland, and he makes $130,000, which he doesn't, but let's just say he makes $130,000, is that money that he gets taxed going to go to the city of Portland? Or is it, does it go to Clackamas County where he lives?
Where he lives.
It's where he lives.
Where he lives, okay. So if my son lives in Vancouver and he works in Portland, he doesn't get taxed.
Yes, he does.
How does he get taxed if he lives in Clark County?
Because the when people work in the state, they do get taxed.
Okay, so the money goes to Clark County?
No,
it would go to Portland.
The state collects the tax. The revenue.
I know, but
department.
The state collects tax for Washington State.
This
citizens.
Oregon
who live.
Collects for people that work and earn their income in Oregon.
That's what I'm
Oregon
saying.
Revenue collects the tax, and that would go to where he worked.
Well, just so you know, when the legislature did the same thing for the transit tax, the employee paid. Okay. This was a problem. For out-of-state things. So my question is that has that been thought through? Because what happened was, is that when all the rulemaking came out, TriMet said, all that money's going to go to Clark County. That's not fair. So what they did is that we'll go back to the employer, where the employer resides, not where the employee resides. And guess who came on the losing end of that?
The employer.
Clackamas County.
Well, big this time. Is income, not at this, this point.
No, no, same. The transit tax was income. Okay. It was income tax.
Well, this is good that we're having this discussion. So
payroll tax.
That's income.
So, Paul, could you just do me a favor, because I'm not quite capturing everything. Could you send me an email with just a little summary, and I want to pass that question through to say, hey, guys, did you think about this?
Well, our staff are in the room. They heard me ask this question this morning.
Okay. If somebody could send that to me, then I will send that through, because I think that's a very good question.
Emily's not in the room at the moment, but I've asked this question this morning, and Caroline was there, and so was Tracy.
Now, we're not doing a debate now. No. We're doing a communication.
I'll ask you afterwards.
Sure.
You want to communicate? Your turn.
Briefly.
Okay. Oh, just before I finish. So, please, questions that come up, ask me. We're doing our best. Everything I get, I'm sending it to Gary to say distribute as appropriate, because he may want certain staff to see it, or he may want the whole commission. So I'm going straight through Gary, and Mary Jo's been key to this, and she's also going to Gary, and we'll just get you everything as we can.
Well, those other three questions I asked months ago and been continuing to ask, those same three questions are still unanswered.
Okay.
Okay, so what are those? So let us know.
Okay.
All right, Gary? Ken?
That's Gary. Okay. Oh, well, I didn't have anything with my regular assignments, so I'll make it brief. I went to the Rally Cares Drug Use by Teens van in Canby. Over the weekend, and if you see that Rally Cares van around, I would strongly advise parents in particular to stop in and take a look at it. It's rather interesting, some of the places that, some of the things you should look for in kids' behavior, as well as some of the places drugs get hidden and how they get hidden. There were some things, many of which I knew, but there's some new ones that I didn't know, like a mouse for your computer. Yeah, it can also be a scale for weighing drugs. I would have never thought to look in the mouse. I might have looked at the battery part to see what's there, but not the other part. So some things because of new technology since I left the business that has definitely changed where you would look. Went to the Future Farmers of America Red Barn Baby Day, which is just east of Happy Valley. And it's just a matter of supporting our Future Farmers of America and the farm lands that we have here in Clackamas County and protecting them for as long as possible.
Did you say baby?
Yeah, they bring in kids from around the area to see, young pigs, chickens, ducks, goats, horses, cows, farm animals.
Hand washing station.
Yeah, all that sort of thing. And what do you need a hand washing station for? Just
animals. You're touching animals.
And the last one is I went out to the Eagle Creek Bart and CPO meeting in Estacada, and met with those folks, went over some of the budget issues and questions that they had about those things. And I know that the issue of the expansion of the gun clubs operations will be coming back to
I saw that planning.
Yeah, we'll be coming back again. And that's it. Thank you.
Yeah, so I participated Monday on a NACO conference call on international economic development, and I've been working with staff to pull together a presentation about our policies and the work we've been developing to help our businesses move up into a global marketplace. So hopefully my colleagues will get a chance to see that there. So I'm going to be continuing to work on that. Tomorrow I've got a large urban county conference call. And just found out that I evidently have a call on Thursday for community and economic development nationally as we go through our national proposals and what we're going to actually give to Congress. So that work continues. I also communicated with the League of Women Voters this week. The American Association of University Women. And now, the National Organization for Women, and they would, all three of them, would like us to see, since March is the 100th anniversary of a woman's right to vote, actually, coming up, that they would like to see, and I know that, Jim, you don't care for this very much, but they would like to see a resolution of some kind or just a proclamation of some kind, and they would be really willing to get everyone here, and I told them I would mention it. To you folks, I think would be a great idea. I think you'll have suffragettes coming in suffragette clothing, and I think that Marge Easley, who works for the League of Women Voters, would be more than willing to give us a template for that. So I think it would be really nice to do something like that. So I'm just kind of wondering if people are okay with that.
Yeah, I'm fine. Yeah.
Great.
Okay, good. Okay.
Great.
Paul? Okay. Oh, wait, no. Paul?
I'm gonna pass today.
Okay. So I am now an official Grange member.
Yay.
Went through the ceremony this weekend. Went to Salem to testify on, to ask the, well, actually testify on behalf or in support of the speaker's measure, and I can't remember the number. Mm-hmm. It looked pretty positive, and it was to remove the cap from 1 to 2%. I mean, actually, to raise the cap from 1 to 2% on what Metro could tax. My understanding today is Metro probably won't be using that, and I don't know what will happen with that. That was just it was in the Finance Committee, I believe. And then I am meeting with the sheriff, just so you know. We have finally, we may have something scheduled already, but my purpose is to talk about various things, one of those being search and rescue. Also, I had breakfast this morning with President Peterson, various mayors and Metro staff, and Here Together chair, Bob Stoles. And I'm afraid that it was a great breakfast, it was great talking to everybody, but I don't know that we heard the story until after I was at a Kurt Schrader's event, and then suddenly we hear something's changed. So I'm not sure what's happening at Metro right now. I assume we'll find out tonight. It might be on the news. I don't know. But that's it for me.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Does anybody know what I'm looking at the paper and the media, if the legislature is going to walk out, if everything's going to stop? Do we have any intel about what the status is of things down in Salem?
Well, from last I saw, it looked pretty possible. I read something this morning that it's very possible that they could walk out.
That's what I heard, too. Gary, do you have any other intel?
Chris Lyons is keeping us posted, so he will tell us when he hears anything. I heard the opposite, that there was some concessions for some legislation this session to support the timber industry, and so therefore it appears that legislators will stay because of that legislation that impacts things that they care about.
Exactly.
Six pieces of legislation got basically taken off the table as a result of a negotiation.
Huh? Okay.
I heard that.
That's the latest I heard.
Thank you. It's hard to keep up with all of that.
I read it this morning online. Yeah. But yes, Chris will keep us posted, and he'll loop you in.
Okay. Thank you.
Messing with you.
All right. Well, if there's nothing else,
that's all for today.
Okay. We're adjourned. Thank you. Adjourned. Thank you. Adjourned. Thank you. Adjourned. Thank you. Adjourned.